Renegade Health Radio.
Renegade Health Radio. This is Frederick Badnott, and with me today is Shelley Stein from joyandmovement.com. And today we have another book review. We've done a few so far, and we've got another one for you about a very popular book that is selling millions of copies at the moment. Shelley, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Frederick. Thanks.
So what's the book we're going to talk about today?
It's called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, and it's by Marie Kondo. So it's by a Japanese woman who, like you said, is really hit the scene with this book. She's really touched a nerve with a lot of people.
You know, I picked up this book randomly just from seeing how popular it was on Amazon. And like many people, I got hooked by the title. You know, I love the idea of something that could be life-changing. Mm-hmm. And then tidying up. You know, I'm not an organized person naturally. And this is something I was interested in. So I picked up the book. I read it. And then tried to implement it, but didn't really implement it. And then I read it again last summer, and I really went through the entire process in the book. And I'll tell you guys more about this in a moment. But I want to know, Shelley, what is your, what is your opinion on this, of this book? Did you pick up any new ideas? How would you summarize the book?
Well, you know, Frederick, I remember exactly when you picked this up because you and I happened to be traveling together at the time. And so that was about spring of 2014, I believe, correct?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. And I hadn't heard of it in the way you had heard of it. And so when you read it and I saw that you saw that the lights were going on in your eyes, I just decided to read it. So I read it right after you read it. And, I think what's really wonderful and different about this book is that in the beginning, she appeals to life-changing, tidying up. But I think that it's much, much more than just getting organized, getting rid of stuff, because I think that in summary, I would say she really talks about the energetics of creating a clear and clean and organized space and the underlying aspects of why people hang on to too much stuff, why people stay cluttered. So I think there's some really practical, obvious stuff here that, you know, it's been mentioned in other books. There's, like you said, a whole genre of cleaning up, organizing your life, being a minimalist with your stuff. But I think what I really loved about this book, because I'm more of an energetics kind of person, I like to get into the energy under behaviors and how the energy influences us. And she really does a very unique, and also being Japanese, she brings what I thought was a great sense of humor to this, where I think a lot of other books are really serious. It's a really serious topic, you know, like you really need to get your stuff in order. You need to get your life in order. Where I love the stories that she told. I loved her sense of humor. I love the things that she shared about some of her clients. So I really enjoyed the book. I think it's a very easy read and a lot of good practical stuff as well.
And she's kind of like almost like an archetypal Japanese woman. Like if you've seen videos of her on YouTube, like she's, you know, she's done TV shows and it's always translated. She doesn't speak English. And she's to me like, I mean, it's almost like, you know, the total cliche that we have of a Japanese person. She's like that, but 10 times. You know, it's so Japanese in approach, and the humor in the book is so Japanese, and it's like that it is, I think that's part of the appeal for us, is that it is vastly different than the way Americans approach personal development books.
Right, and that's good. It does fit in that genre of personal development books. But she brings and this is her life. So you get the sense sometimes when you read personal development books or organizational books, decluttering books, she picks up the word tidying, which is sort of a unique word. I don't know that anybody else uses the word tidying. I think people in North America might call it organizing. But she very much, this is her life and she lives this. And The idea, you know, that she goes into people's homes and deals with their stuff. I mean, I am naturally an organized person, and I could not do what she does. Could you do what she does?
Well, no. And for people who are interested, the author's name is Marie Kondo. So if you type that in YouTube, you will find videos where she goes to a New York apartment filled with stuff, and then the process begins of decluttering. But it's not decluttering in the same sense as we understand it in the West, because it is also about how you're going to decide what to keep and what to get rid of. So she's got a process for that, and then how you're going to organize everything and the philosophy behind it, that which is also very different. Like, I went through the process last summer, and one thing that's different about it is she tells you you must. And I'm going now, not so much in the philosophy of it, but more like in the practical aspects of it. So I decided to do it in one day, and it took me 3 days to go through the entire process, 3 full days. And the idea is you don't organize little by little. She asks you to do everything all at once, and then she asks you, instead of organizing by area, which is what most people do, I'm going to start with the kitchen, and I'm going to start with it, and I'm going to go to the bedroom and so on. She asks you to organize things by categories. So one of the most striking aspects of her method is one of the first things she asks people to sort out are the clothing. And then she asks everybody, she asks you to bring all of your clothes from anywhere in the house and pile them up and go through them one by one, and then decide based on an energy of joy. You know, is this something that brings you joy, whether you're going to keep the item or not? But she's very ruthless about the process of deciding what to keep or not. And then you do the same with books.
Right.
It's not just that you look at your bookshelf and you're like, oh, I'm going to keep this. No, you take out physically all of your books, you pile them up, and then you see how much you have, and you see the mess you have. And so that's what took so much time. But it was really worth it, because I'm looking right now at my office, and there are aspects of my office that I've kept pretty much, I mean, the way she describes it, you know.
Right, and you know, you've touched on a couple of good points actually, Frederick. So it's very important what you said about it's about discarding first and then finding a place for everything. So that has to be done in that order. And I think there's a reason for that, because I think when most people tidy up, they just put things in place. They put this back here, or they put this back in that place. But the discarding has to happen first, and the bringing together of similar items and then going through the discarding happens before you find a place to store things. And I think that's very important. And the other thing you touched on, which I think is great, I mean, I've been in your home many times, and I think 3 days, one of the things she says is that tidying is not done little by little by little, but that, you know, tidying up and discarding and finding a place is a special event. It's not done every day, and I think that's what people do. People think they're going to clean up a little bit every day, but you made it a special event. I think 3 days is great. You know, the idea is to do it once, and then you never have to do it again, because once you discard and you find a place for everything, then all you have to do is use something and put it back in its place.
When I did the process, I also watched some of her videos to understand how she sorts things. And so this is what I didn't get the first time. And then I decided to do everything exactly the way she talks about. So, for example, like folding almost every item of clothing that is not hanged, but socks, underwear, T-shirts, things like that. And I kept it up for a while, but it honestly does take a lot less space, and it's very neat to see. And I can see how this could work in a very small apartment where every inch of space counts. But I think that's what I realized after this. This was a little bit unrealistic for North Americans. Is okay. We most of us had a little bit of extra space that we can use. So the time that I was spending, doing laundry is something like mm-hmm. what people don't feel like doing too often. So if on top of that you add an hour of folding, it's a little too much. So I kind of quit the folding. It's kind of like my underwear and my socks are not happy because she asks about, you know, she talks about some crazy stuff like the secret lives of your socks and making sure that they're happy. So my socks are not as happy as they used to be, but it is, you know, I kept a lot of this. I kept a lot of the sorting principles.
Well, Frederick, let me ask you a question. You know, you said when you're going through, you know, one of the reasons that she wants you to put everything, all your clothes in one room, and she wants you to touch your stuff.
Yeah.
Because, and I agree with her. There are so many things we own, books, kitchen utensils, clothing, that we're not in contact with in a real way. And were you able to, you know, the question that she says to ask over and over again is, does something spark joy? So when you look at something or you touch something, does it spark joy? And that's one of her main criteria for how you decide what you want to keep. Were you able to get into that process?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to do it in your own way, you know. Like, I was not holding my books and asking myself, does it spark joy? And then, you know, like she does on the TV shows. But I kind of asked the same question in my own way. So is this something that I feel good about? Or is this something that I think that's what's really great about her method is that we tend to rationalize too much items that we're going to keep or and then we're like, oh, I might use this in the future. But then when you're really honest with yourself, you're like, you know what? I haven't used this for 5 years. The chances that I'll use it in the next 5 years are pretty slim. So.
Well, that was actually my next question for you, because she's very clear in her own mind. And I think after watching thousands of people that she really draws some wonderful conclusions. And what she says is that people have trouble discarding things for three reasons. They see number one is a functional value, which you just mentioned about. So they think they're going to still use something. They see the second thing she says is that people have trouble discarding things because there is an informational value. So there's some piece of information that they need. And then the third one is that she feels people have an emotional or a sentimental value. So all of us, and she's not particularly hard on the emotional sentimental value, because we all have things of an emotional sentimental value that we're going to keep. Whether they bring us joy or not, they're just things that we, pictures and cards and things that we want to keep. For me, the second category, the informational value, I think I have more of a challenge with. I don't really have a lot of attachment to the functional value stuff. If I use something, I use it. And if I don't, I mean, I don't have a lot of stuff. So, I don't really think about the future. Can I use it? But for me, there's a lot of, I think what I keep maybe unnecessarily is things that I think have informational value. So I was wondering for you, when you went through those three, what were you thinking? What was the most challenging for you?
Well, it was not so much the information, because I have a way to digitalize and organize this information. So I have, for example, a filing cabinet. And when I went through the process, I got rid of half of it.
Mm.
But I also scan a lot of documents so mm-hmm. I can refer to them. I just don't need their physical presence. Mm-hmm. So I asked myself, is this something that I actually need as a paper? And then I kept those, and everything else I got rid of. But I was ruthless too. I got rid of all the manuals that we keep for all the stuff that we buy. Mm-hmm. And realizing that if I need, for example, the manual of a digital camera, I can find it online. I just type it, mm-hmm. search for it, and I'll find it. So that part was relatively easy. Mm. I think the books were more difficult mm-hmm. and the kitchen items. But I don't, I'm not a hoarder. So I went through this process before. It was just much more systematic this mm-hmm. time with her guidance in the book. So I would say that there's not something that was more difficult than another category, but overall, I learned a lot from the book, and the lessons are still present.
I
So, yeah.
think I'm of a different generation than you, and I still am of the paper generation, where the informational value is on paper. And as much as I have as much as I have digitalized things, what I decided to do with the paper is not discard everything, because some of it did have informational value. So what I started to do was use a date as a cutoff date. So let's say if I was holding onto paper that was more than 2 years old or 3 years old, that I discarded that. And for me, that's an ongoing process, because I envy you, the being able to digitalize everything. I'm not quite there yet. So for me, that's still a process with the informational value. Like, I do still have my manuals for things. I know where they are, they all have their place, but I do still have them, for instance. And it really is, her concept about clutter, that's the part that I think I've always been naturally good at, which is everything has a place, and when I use things, I put them back in their place. And that, she says, is the cause of clutter. So a lot of people think, well, they get rid of their stuff, so they do the discarding process pretty easily, but then it's very, very challenging for them to have a place for everything and to put things back in their place.
And for me, it is very difficult because after I did the sort of spring cleaning through using the book as a guidance, I realized, well, the part that I was not implementing was putting things back in their place. Or I kept changing the place for stuff,
Oh,
so
interesting. Interesting.
like, for example, I mean, I might decide to put I don't know, my teapot in one place, and then the next day I put it somewhere else. I mean, I'm not doing that as much now because I learn, I would say this was a book that really influenced me because I keep thinking about it on a regular basis, like, oh, I should be doing more of this or more of that. But it's not, it doesn't come easily for me to not accumulate clutter. So like on my office desk or things like that. But it's much better than it used to be through the book. So this is where kind of I'm wondering about the change, life-changing part of the title. Like this is the life-changing magic. I mean, I don't know how much it's going to change your life, but I think it's definitely worth doing it. Like I think I did a quick Google search for the term change your life, and it's got over 200 million results,
I'm sure.
more than the words Barack Obama. So it is, I mean, it is one of those terms like transformative wisdom, tipping point, and things like that that are used a lot in self-help and sometimes to the point of not meaning anything. So I wonder if about this, like people shouldn't get their expectations too high and think, oh, I'm just gonna get this book, follow it, and it's gonna change my life. It might not change your life, but it will definitely help with the clutter and help you feel better.
Well, I actually do feel it's life changing, because I like the energetics under it. So in other words, what really is important to her? If I'm reading her, if I'm reading her correctly, and I think I am, is that she says that people are, life is a balancing act, and that in your home, it's a balancing act between you, your home, and your possessions. And one of the things that I absolutely love is, I'm going to read from the book a little bit, because I just love the way she puts this. And she talks about your home being a power spot. And let me just get to the page I want to read. And she says, one theme underlying my method is transforming the home into a sacred space, a power spot filled with pure energy, a comfortable environment, a space that feels good to be in, a place where you can relax. These are the traits that make a home a power spot. Would you rather live in a home like this or in one that resembles a storage shed? And I absolutely love that, because I think there are a lot of people who are not at ease in their home. They're not relaxed, and their home, their garage, their yard, it has become a storage shed. And one of the things I want to share with you, because Frederick knows this, but let me share with everybody, is I currently do not have a home. I don't own a home, and I don't rent a home. So I'm what you might call a digital nomad. And I've been doing this for the last 5 months. I'm coming into the end of my fifth month. And so I'm staying I'm doing house sitting. I'm staying in the homes of friends. I'm staying in hotels. And probably this will go on for another couple of months before I choose a home. So this is interesting that we should be talking about this now, because I am in so many people's homes. I am in so many different homes. And 100% of the spaces that I'm house sitting for or staying in are totally being used as storage sheds. I mean, these homes are out of control with stuff, and things do not have a place, and there's multiple items. So the same type of item in almost every room. And I really do feel that there's an underlying energetics to our home, and that our home is a sacred space, and that what she's talking about in this book, really understanding what's in your home, what your possessions are, what relationship you have to them, and what possessions you choose and why, and then treating them respectfully and creating a space for them. I really do think that's life-changing if you're willing to go down that road.
Well, you might have changed my mind on this. It might actually be life-changing. I think it's maybe an issue with how we define the term. Mm-hmm. You have to do the work, and in some cases it might be difficult, and you might have to try again, and you might have to get better at it. But if I look at it objectively, I can see that my home has been transformed through this process. Maybe I'm holding on to the parts that I'm still not doing right, or that I could do better. But overall, I mean, it's been a huge change for me. So I guess that could be life-changing, if you put it that way.
Yeah, I think that if your home, I mean, I've always seen your home. I mean, even when I go into a hotel room, there's a way that I set up the hotel room that feels like my home. Even when I'm house sitting for people, there's always spaces that I create for myself. And it's the same way, you know, in each dwelling that I go into, where I just know this is going to make me feel comfortable, I'm going to sleep well, I'm going to feel content. And one of the conclusions that she draws towards the end of her book is that this kind of process, what she calls tidying, it leads to a certain contentment, where I think, you know, life is chaotic, and life is stressful, and life is easy, and life is hard, and life is fun, and life has sorrow, and life has a lot of life is very rich. And I think a part of that richness is having a home where when you come home, you feel relaxed in your space, and you feel content, and you feel like you look at the objects that you're surrounding yourself with, and you feel happy, and you feel joy. And I think everybody listening, including you and I in this conversation, know sometimes we'll walk into someone's house and we'll just go, wow, I feel a peace here. I feel a certain kind of energy that is appealing. And there are other times when you walk into people's homes, which is what I'm doing now because I'm house sitting so much, and you go, wow, there's just a lot of chaos here. And I don't go into these homes judging it. It's just an experiential observation that I'm having a lot right now because I'm moving around so much. I just think that there is magic in challenging yourself with this kind of process.
And when you travel, what's incredible is you realize how little you need to have a functional life. And then you go back home and you're like, oh, I have this thing and I have those things and I actually don't need them. And yeah, so in that sense, it can be really life-changing to start looking at stuff and your home in a completely different way. And that's why the Japanese perspective can really help people, because it's a different cultural bias.
Yeah, and let me give you a funny example. So I was recently in someone's home, and they had – so one of the things she talks about in her book is how you'll have the same item in every single room. So I have two examples that are kind of funny about that. One is that I was in somebody's home, and they had – pencils and pens in every single room. So we're talking about a two-bedroom, two-bath, dining room, kitchen. Three-bedroom, two-bath, dining room, kitchen. Every single room had a canister with pens and pencils in it. And I needed to find a pen. And I went in to every canister. And I would say 99% of the – not the pencils, but 99% of the pens were not working. And there were, you know, there had to be like 20 pens in each one of these canisters. And now I didn't go and throw them out because it's not my stuff. But in all of this, I couldn't find a pen. And then the other funny thing was that I was in another home where somebody had, I assume they were reading glasses. And maybe, and I don't wear reading glasses, so maybe people who wear reading glasses do this. But there were reading glasses in every single room, multiple reading glasses. So reading glasses by the phone, reading glasses on countertops, reading glasses on the dining room table. And I don't know, it's just multiple items of the same sort. And I don't know, maybe this person, in order to find their reading glasses, needs one in every room. But I just think there's sort of a wisdom to keeping things in their place. And yeah, you're right. I mean, even on the road, as much as I'm moving around, I know I have a place for everything. So I know where my keys are, and I know where my wallet is, and I know where what I need is. And I've actually, if I can offer you a compliment, I've seen, you know, you and I've been friends a long time, and I've been in your homes, and I've seen you get much more tidy, and I've seen you get much more caring about where things go and putting things back. And I've also seen it correspond with a certain calmness in you.
Yeah, I think that's right. And if you saw my apartment now, you would see it has changed since last summer, and it will probably keep changing as I incorporate these teachings and also as I become more calm myself. So mm-hmm. my world reflects that calmness. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think we've covered a lot of ground on this book. Shelley, would you say this is something most people should pick up and read?
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful book to read, and you will. It's an easy book to read because she's so wonderful and her stories are wonderful. And I think that you have to decide, like you said, you did it for 3 days, because this is not an ongoing process. It's again meant to happen once in your lifetime, and then you just keep it going by having certain places for everything. And I think it's important to be realistic with yourself when you read the book, if this is your time. And if this is your time, then dive in and have fun with this, because there's a lot of benefit at the end of the road. But like you said, it takes a dedication, but only a short-term dedication. And then I think the benefits are ongoing. And of course, if you have a family and you live with many people, it's kind of everybody has to join in, because there were obviously rooms that belong to everybody. But I think it's an absolute read for everybody, no doubt about it.
Well, I also agree this is a must read. So The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. Shelley, where can people find more about you and what you do?
I'm at joyinmovement.com. That's joyinmovement, MOVEMENT.com. And I love talking to people and working with people on any kind of holistic health. And I do think this ties in with holistic health, because again, I think, like you just said, your space reflects a lot of other things that are going on in your life. So I Frederick, you and I could talk for hours on this kind of stuff, and we usually do.
Well, great having you today, Shelley, and thank you everybody for listening to Renegade Health Radio.
Renegade Health Radio.